Shall we now turn to the book of Kings? First Kings, chapter 21 of First Kings, and we shall read verse 25. 1 Kings chapter 21 verse 25. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. Well, this sums up this man's and this woman's personalities. They were sold out to do evil. They were given over to do evil. Their conscience were dead. They had no control over their feelings. They had no control over their imaginations. It was evil continually. They were the essence of evil. Their soul was like the soul of Hitler, Mao, Kemero, Mussolini, or Stalin. Evil was their nature. They were saturated with evil. They possessed evil. They could think of nothing but work wickedness. To work wickedness means they fashioned, they produced, and they accomplished evil deeds. Their heart was an evil manufacturing factory. The next thing that this verse says is that Jezebel, his wife, stirred up such wicked thoughts and words. To stir up here means she incited, she allured him to do such a thing, and she enticed him towards evil things, and she instigated him and persuaded him and provoked him to do evil things. The Bible says they made Israel sin. They made Israel sin. Verse 22. The political leaders of Israel made the nation to sin. How did the queen and the king make the nation to sin? The Bible tells us that Ahab went further than Jeroboam, the first king of Israel. Jeroboam was made the first king of divided Israel, as you know, the northern kingdom. 10 tribes were given to him by God. These 10 tribes were snatched from the hands of Solomon, the Lord tore them away from him because Solomon had sinned. But Ahab, being already wicked, more wicked than Jeroboam, he went further and got married to a foreign lady, a daughter of a pagan king of Zidon. And this king and his daughter served Baal. Ahab then goes and makes a house for the pagan god in Samaria and builds an altar for Baal. Not only that, he goes and makes a grove for this idol. This grove was called Asherah. Asherah was a tree planted next to the altar or the shrine of this god. If there were more trees, it was called Asherim, which is plural of Asherah. If there was no tree, they would plant a pole beside this altar or shrine of Baal. And this tree or a pole symbolized the female order, productive principle in nature. The people of the world on the whole had come to worship the fertility gods and goddesses. This fertility belief became associated with gross immorality. Gross immorality. The true and living God, as we know, does not have a wife. God is spirit. He is pure and holy. He is not like men. Man, the triune God's union, their oneness, is not of a sexual nature. It is of being one in truth and holiness and righteousness and purity and love. People long to be one with God, for in Him we live, move, and have our being. But we can become one with Him only when our sins are forgiven, when we are purified, only when we fully trust in Him and begin to obey His word and become like Him, holy and righteous and filled with love. Since man rebelled and turned away from God, we could never achieve that. We fell short of it. We were separated from His union. But nevertheless, we cannot take away that desire. That desire is inbuilt. It cannot go away. So mankind set themselves with the help of Satan to achieve that union. In wanting to do so, mankind twisted what God said and made their own belief system. We looked into it last week. They made gods as having wives. They spurned a belief that these gods and goddesses become one in sexual union. So they practiced like their gods and goddesses. They practiced orgies, believing that they become one like their gods when they imitate their gods. What a way to become one. You will notice that the leaders of the world are preparing the people of the world to become one. In the West, they are preparing 5-year-old children to experiment in sex. They are pushing this agenda, trying to make it compulsory that every child from the age of 5 will learn everything and experiment everything about sex. They firmly believe that sex is the only thing that can make them one. That's why everything is sexualized today. This is nothing new, dear friends. The older religion had temples that had temple prostitutes in thousands. The temple of Diana in Ephesus had 1,000 prostitutes. They had orgies. This is how they offered worship to their gods. A day will come when perhaps in the new age religion, orgies will become a regular feature. But remember, this is nothing new. It is as old as in the days of Noah. The imagination of the heart of man was utterly wicked and violent, and so it is becoming now. When Satan wants to attack and corrupt man's heart, he does this by first corrupting man's pure worship of God. Jesus said, man must worship God in spirit and in truth. Look at the worship that the many Christians perform today all over the world, especially in the West. It is an exact replica of a disco halls. It is an exact replica of a rock concert. The kings of Israel were strictly warned not to plant a grove of any tree, nor a pole near the altar of the Lord God. But King Ahab went ahead, built an altar to Baal, and planted a grove. He did it being allured by his wife Jezebel. The name Jezebel means Baal exalts, or Baal is husband to. So we can see from her very name she was married to this pagan god of her people. And that's the idea in the East. A woman is not only married to her husband, but to her god. The other thing that the Bible tells us is that Ahab provoked God more than any other kings. In his days, witchcraft and human sacrifice was very common, and we can see the popularity of it when Mr. Hiel, the Bethelite, rebuilt the city of Jericho. This man laid the foundation with the sacrifice of his firstborn, Abiram. And he built the gates of the city with the blood of his youngest son, Shegub. Can you see that? You know, when we were little children in Mumbai, we used to hear stories, and our parents would say, don't be alone anywhere. Look, sometime you can be kidnapped, and if they are building a bridge or something like that, you will be taken and you will be sacrificed for that bridge. How true? Here you are. He sacrificed his two sons so that he could make that city stand. And you'll remember that Jericho was destroyed by Joshua, and Joshua had said, whoever builds the city of Jericho, he shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and by the blood of his youngest son shall he set up the gates. Although such was the curse, Mr. Hiel did just that. He sacrificed his sons to rebuild this city. Such thing could not have done, not have taken place, if the king and the queen would stand by the Lord and walk by the way shown by the Lord. This shows that the atmosphere, the values of the nation had changed. In such a setup, even whatever evil would be acceptable. It is okay. In our own days, dear friends, violence and killing is on the rise. Horror movies are become a norm. Young and old are becoming imitators of bloodthirsty vampires. Tomorrow is 31st of October, and the supermarkets are filled with dark and gory costumes that is so frighteningly hellish. And the media has joined to make it even more haunting. Some children call it the birthday of Satan. Sad to say, even those that call themselves Christians will join to celebrate this birthday of Satan. Where is the voice of our leaders? What are they doing? Our kings and our queens and our religious leaders that are made to be the watchmen over their nations. Many Christian religious leaders eat with the rulers of the nation. They play and relax in their presence, but have no courage to speak against evil and separate themselves for these rulers and give honor to God. What was Ahab's view of the man of God called Elijah? Ahab called Prophet Elijah troublemaker. You troublemaker. Elijah reminded King Ahab and his wife Jezebel and the people of Israel about the commands of the Lord. Elijah shut the heavens so that there was no rain for 3 years. God did this so that people would know his power rested in this man. That God is a living God, and he has a power, and he is a God of justice. God did this so that the king and the people would repent and turn to God, but the king would not. He forsook the commands of the Lord, and he followed the gods of their own imagination. Do you know, dear friends, any nation that turns away from the true and living God will first attack God's word and God's servants. Even East India Company, when they were ruling over India, they would not allow their very own men, the missionaries like Carey and so on, to enter there where they ruled in India. Why? Because they knew that they would educate the people. Because they knew they would teach them the word of God. Why? Because people would become aware that they are made in the image and likeness of God. They would understand what is right and wrong, what is justice and injustice. So in order to keep the people where they are, because their religion does not teach them such things, they were afraid that God's word would empower them and set them free. So the first thing, anyone who wants to have rule over you and keep you as a slave, they will destroy the word of God. They will destroy God's people, God's preachers. So Jezebel, who was under the spell of a demonic gods, the gods that demanded human bloods, gods that demanded immorality, gods that demanded violence, gods that demanded horror and wars, gods that demanded sexual perversion, and gods that demanded injustice, the leaders of such nation will first seek to root out God's word and God's servant. And that's exactly what Jezebel did. Jezebel therefore took captive the prophets of the Lord and killed them. Killed them. She went on a rampage. She searched out every prophet of God, pulled them out, and slaughtered them. Did they not do the same to the Lord Jesus Christ? They said, "It is better that this man of truth, dies rather than the whole nation suffer." This is the spirit of Jezebel. It is a spirit that has no compassion, no mercy, and that is the title I've given. This is the age of the spirit of Jezebel. No forgiveness and no love. The spirit of Jezebel has no liberty, no fraternity, and no equality. We are in that age, dear friends. It is no more democracy. It is no more freedom of speech. It is the age of the spirit of Jezebel. Jezebel will have no other voice except her own voice. She did her best to silence the voice of the true prophets of God, and in their place, Jezebel placed the prophets of her own gods. And these prophets, they taught their religion through words, through songs, through drama, and through the worship they ministered to these evil gods. Religion and politics became one. Religion and politics became one. One world religion, one world order. With Jezebel, there is only one world order. The book of Revelation calls it the great city of Babylon. The woman, the great whore, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And this woman, the great city, reigneth over the kings of the earth. What a book the Bible is. What a book. God knows the end from the beginning. Those who have ears to hear, hear it, repent, and turn to Christ, to the truth. We can see this change taking place right in front of our eyes. New ideas and values are forced upon and made to look that this is the only way of life. And the best way of life. New laws are brought in to suppress and penalize anyone following and proclaiming the way of the Lord God and His Son, Jesus Christ. If you speak the message of the gospel, it should be stopped because it hurts the sentiments of other people. But when they introduce new genders to our children, new marriage laws, violence and perversity on the screens and so on, it is fine. You must accept it or you suffer. Is this liberty? Is this equality? Again, dear friends, again, once the true worship of the Lord is made corrupt, Society soon began to dive into injustice. Society begins to do what their hearts desire. They begin to follow after their own heart. No laws can stop them. It becomes a nation without walls and without borders. It becomes a nation without any order. So we see Ahab grabbing the property of Naboth. King Ahab had no principles left in him. He did not hold on to God, and neither did he hold on to the good traditions of his ancestors. He demanded that Naboth, one of the citizens, sell his property to him. And Naboth refused because it was very precious to him. And it was very precious to him because it was his ancestral property given by God coming down the line. King Ahab was very grieved. When Jezebel saw and heard as to why Ahab was grieved and sad, she told him, "Oh, look, you are the governor. You govern the kingdom of Israel. So arise, eat your bread, drink your wine, be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. I will give it to you. You are the king, but I will give it to you." And so she wrote a letter in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent a letter unto the elders and to the nobles that were in this city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letter saying, "Proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people." In other words, bring him to judgment seat. "And set two men, sons of Belial, wicked men, before him to bear witness against him, saying, 'Look, he blasphemed against God and the king,' and then carry him out and stone him to death." Who is in charge here? Jezebel says to Ahab, "Look, you are the one that governs the kingdom of Israel. You are the king of Israel. You rule Israel. Get up, eat, drink, and be merry. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth." You can see Jezebel pulling the strings. She knows better than Ahab as to how to grab, how to deceive, cut corners, arrange people to kill those that do not agree with her and her husband. She killed the prophets of the living God. Ahab did nothing to chastise her. She threatened to kill Elijah, the prophet, and he did not warn her. Now, when she arranged for false witness to bring false accusation against Naboth, Ahab said nothing. But the moment she came and told him that Naboth is dead, he got up, went, and took possession of his property. No questions asked. Elijah, the prophet of God, went and told Ahab, "You have killed and you have taken possession. Therefore God will see that the dogs lick your blood, even as the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, and every son born to you will die." What a curse. What a curse. "He that dies in the city, the dogs will eat, and he that dies in the field, the birds of the air will eat." And moreover, the Lord told Elijah to tell Ahab that dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Oh, dear friends, sins, disobedience have great consequences. Great consequences. You have to pay for your sins. Every one of us have to pay. There is a judgment day. It is a terrible day of the Lord, and it is coming very soon. Great religious leaders of the world, Christian leaders of the world, especially in the West, sit with rulers of the nations. They dine with them. They converse with them. They even, I believe, go and play golf with them. So they have recreation with them. It's a fact. It's a truth. On the day that they take their oaths to be the president or the prime minister, they pray for them and they initiate them into their office. This is a wonderful thing. It's a great tradition. But a Christian leader, religious leader, must be there not only to pray and encourage, but also to warn. Also to rebuke if the leader or leaders of the nation don't bow down to God's command. The leader must separate himself if they don't do this from such a king, from such a ruler. Yes, they got to do it and tell it openly why they're doing it. Oh, dear friends, why is it that we never hear these religious leaders warning the politicians for breaking God's commands? Why is it that these Christian leaders never ask them to ban abortion, speak against same-sex marriage, to stop forcing little children to change their gender, or banning drugs and altogether blocking pornography? Why is this not their election manifesto? Some of these great religious leaders gather millions of people around them, and all they do is make them bow to the statue, perhaps of Mary or some other statue, and to the host called the sun god. One thing I have learned, and you must have learned that too, and that is when you associate yourself with wicked people and you yourself join in doing things that you as a child of God should not be doing it, you lose your authority. You lose your authority. You lose your power. And this is what happened to Ahab. Ahab followed after the gods of his wife. He joined in celebrating the evil cult of his wife. But remember, Ahab was wicked from the beginning. Even before getting married to Jezebel, he had forsaken the Lord God, his creator and deliverer. He had no love for the Lord. He did not show any zeal for the Lord. Not at all. All he cared is for himself. You must have heard how our leaders have been moaning that the trouble of the world is too much for them. They cannot handle it anymore. So now they say, let a woman rule over us. That is what Ahab did. He allowed Jezebel to take the reign. Women have begun to think that they are in control. But the truth is, men are putting you there, dear ladies. They want you to be blamed. They want the world to hate you. When Satan came to Eve with this awesome idea of becoming like God, she must have thought, wow, this shining one, this amazing prince from heaven has chosen me to give this message rather than my husband. Imagine how puffed up she must have become. And so she, without consulting Adam, ate it. And of course, Adam ate it too. Even Eve must have thought that the order has now been reversed. Woman on the top, man below. When you go low, we go up. This is a voice from across the Pacific these days. Satan is a liar, deceiver. He put Eve up so that she could be blamed and be cursed. He removed all protection from her. Christ, on the other hand, came to put woman once again on the right path, on the right order. Satan is a flatterer. Christ is the restorer. He speaks the truth, and all he does is according to the truth. The order that God set at creation, he has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible rightly and clearly says, head of Christ is God. The head of man is Christ. The head of woman is man. Sad to say, man has sold himself to do evil, indulged themselves in drinking, fornicating, cheating, being unfaithful to their wives, coveting, blaspheming, worshipping idols, and coming to the point to believe that there is no God. Having done so, they don't have the authority to tell their women, no, you cannot do this, or this is not good for us, it is not good for our family, for our children, for our nation. And women turn around and say, look, who is telling me what I should be doing? Today they say that women drink more than men. They smoke more than men. And they have left the boundaries of no-go area far behind. They think that they are winning the race over men. It is not about winning, dear women, dear wives. It is about becoming a slave to Satan. You are only doing what Satan is causing you to do. Look, if what you are doing was good, then families would be preserved, children would be in safer hands, marriages would be long-lasting, women would not give themselves to be used by men, they would hold on to their dignity. But the whole idea of equality has turned into, look, we can drink as much and more than you can drink. We can indulge in sex more than you can do. We can break laws as much as you break. We can do whatever we want to do. And in thinking that you are free, you have turned out to be a slave of Satan, just like man. In either case, dear friends, we both are losers. We are losers. And one of the reasons why Satan hates women is because they can bear children. Children. God's command is to procreate and multiply. And children are a gift of God. Jesus Christ was conceived in the womb of a woman. It was woman that brought the Son of God into the earth. What a glorious privilege. What a glorious privilege. Satan hates women. When Satan turns a man away from a woman and make him go after another man, this is because he hates women. Then women say, if man go after a man, we can do the same. We will go after a woman. Both become losers. Losers. The greatest miracle that happens every minute or so is the birth of a child. That's a miracle. Satan wants to destroy this miracle. He wants to make the womb barren so that there will be no children on this earth. God is life. We can see life all around us, and Satan cannot stand that because he cannot produce life. He cannot create life. Some women support Satan by taking a deliberate stand not to bear children. I cannot understand how a woman dislikes to fill that womb with the miracle of God. A birth of a child is an ongoing miracle of God. Even in the darkest days of evil, birth of a child is an image and likeness of God on earth. That is what Satan hates. Do you know, even an ardent atheist like David Attenborough, he has admitted, he says, there is nothing more marvelous than a 9-month-old human baby. The only creature that really makes my jaw drop so much that I find it hard to stop looking is a 9-month-old human baby. Nothing compares to it, says Sir David, a father of two. Dear friends, it is amazing to see the patience and the love of God. This couple, King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, although they were outrightly against God, yet God over and over again showed them his power, showed them his willingness to forgive. To forgive. You and I would have, if we had a power over them, we would have just finished them off. But not so with God. God over and over, showed his power to them, supported them so that they would turn back to him. First he made prophet Elijah to bring in a famine. For 3 years at the word of God from Elijah, there was famine. Then God told Elijah to bring in the rain, and the rain came. Then God asked Elijah to gather the prophets of Jezebel, hundreds of them. He told them, offer sacrifices and call your gods to come and burn the sacrifice. So they cut the bulls and it was kept on the altar. And so they said, Elijah said, let your God bring fire and make this sacrifice. Burn this sacrifice. And so they did put the sacrifice. And then no fire came. They danced. They shouted. They screamed. They cut themselves with knives so that these gods would hear them. They bled. Nothing happened. And being totally exhausted and bleeding, they stopped. And then Elijah put his sacrifice on the altar and he told them to put water on it. Look at that. Put water on it. He said, put it once, put it twice. And he asked them to drench the wood with water. They did it. And then he called upon the Lord God Almighty, the God of heaven and the earth, and he prayed that these people may see and turn their lives back to God. And then as he prayed, the fire of the Lord came down upon that sacrifice, consumed the burnt sacrifice completely. Then came the Syrian army of King Ben-Hadad. King Ahab was afraid, but Elijah came and told him, go and fight. Go and fight. God will be with you. And so the princes of the city, they went, of Israel, went, and they fought, and the Lord gave them victory. God sent another prophet and told Ahab, in 1 year time, King Ben-Hadad will come again. And he did come again. And Israel, God of Israel, defeated them again. Yet, Ahab and Jezebel would not change. Their hearts were hardened. At one point, Ahab did repent. He did repent. But he did nothing completely to serve the Lord. Then he went to make war with Syria. He went being disguised. Look at that. He had no power. What a shame. He made Jehoshaphat to fight his war. He went disguised. He was afraid that they would come after him. He knew that. But look. An arrow was shot randomly by a Syrian soldier. It came and hit Ahab in between the gap of his armor and killed him. It was directed by God. How terrible. Oh, dear friends. And of course, the dogs came and licked the blood, his blood. And same thing happened to Jezebel. She was thrown out from her house, and the dogs, even before the other king told his servants to go and bury him. When they went down, there was nothing found but her skull. The dogs had come and eaten it up. Dear friends, do not put your trust in men nor in any woman. Turn to the Lord your Creator. Look at the love of the Lord God. He sent His only begotten Son to show us all the truth. What did they do to Him? They put Him on the cross and did away with Him. Did He die? Yes, He died. But He rose again. Truth never dies, dear friend. It lives on. Jesus is the only way and the truth. He spoke the truth. He lived the truth and gave his life for the truth. Therefore, he is highly exalted. Dear friends, let us admit that we are taken for a ride with the lies of the world and by the lie of Satan. None of these people that ask us to follow them will give their wealth to you, their time, for you. No, they will not give their limbs for you and me, and they will never give their lives for you and me. Don't even think about that. But Jesus, the Son of God, fully holy and righteous, just in all his ways, showed his love for us in that he shed his blood and he broke his body on our behalf. He offered his life on our behalf so that we be forgiven of our sins and that we may live a life of truth and that we may have eternal life. Men, women, girls, boys, make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Come under his order and you will have peace. Seek to come into his kingdom prepared for you and me before the foundation of the world. Repent of your unbelief. Commit your life to Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.